Thank you, Father. Thank you, everybody. I would like you not to fall asleep as the priest of the yoke. In fact, yes, as Father said, I was here for the key conference of the 2013. And now, you know, the theme is "She shall crush thy head." So it's today in a day like today, 105 years ago, it happened the miracle of the sun in Fatima, Portugal. It took place this great miracle through the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, before the little shepherd, and I think 70,000 people that saw the miracle of the sun. Today, God has given us the grace to be gathered in His name and in honor of His Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, to be able to speak and listen about to listen to her praises, about the words of the book of Genesis, when God, our Lord, after the disaster of the fall of the man and the first woman, the first man and the first woman, began to curse the serpent, the devil, saying, "Inimicitia sponam inter te et mulierem, et semen tuum et semen ilius. Ipsa conteret caput tuum et tu insidiaveris calcanium eius," which means, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt die in wait for her heel." So, I would like to see with you a little bit of the context of the situation. These words from our Lord, from God Himself. God created man in His image and likeness in order that the man know Him, let's say, know God, love Him and serve Him in his life, and then enjoy the God's presence in eternal life. So we read in the story, in the history of Genesis, the tales of this creation. How God, when creating the living creatures, does so by speaking to the environment where they will inhabit. For example, when God created fish, He spoke to the water, no? To the sea, which He had already created, saying, "Let the waters bring forth the creeping creature having life, and the fowl that may fly over the earth under the firmament of heaven." When God wanted to create trees and animals, He spoke to the earth, saying, "Let the earth bring forth the green herbs and the fruit trees, the living creature in its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so done. But when God created man, He turned to Himself and said, "Let us make man to our image and likeness." So it gives us the idea that God is our environment. If you take a fish out of the water, the fish dies. And when you remove the tree from soil, from the earth, it will also die. Likewise, when man is disconnected with God, it's nothing. His spiritual life is dead. So God is our natural environment. We were created to live in His presence. St. Augustine said, "Oh God, we were created by you, and our heart will not be in peace until it comes to you." So we have to be connected with God, because it is only in Him that life exists. And the way to be connected to God and with God is through Our Lady, the Virgin Mary. We recall that water without fish is still water, but fish without water cannot live, is nothing. It dies. The soil, the earth, without the animals, without the trees, is still earth, but the tree and the green herb, without the soil, the earth is nothing, cannot live, dies. God without mankind, without us, is still God, but man without God is nothing, nothing absolutely. What happened? The devil, the old serpent, was envious of man, who had been created to occupy the place of heaven, left by his prevarication. He said, "Non serviam, I will not serve." So the hell was created by God to punish the angels, the bad angels. So a man was created to occupy the place in heaven, left by this prevarication of the angels. And he sowed this angel, bad angel, sowed discord and planted the seed of the original sin because of envy. To put the enmity between God and man, to disconnect, for the disconnection between man and God. And this is what we read and how it happened. We read in the history of Genesis how the fall came about. The cunning serpent tempted the first woman, Eve. And Eve tempted the first man, Adam. And they both ate of the fruit of the tree that God had forbidden them, thus committing the original sin and breaking the harmony, the friendship with God. After the fall, God comes to paradise as usual to talk to the man, and the man hides from God because his conscience was tortured, is prickled by the sin committed. When God asks him why, the man responds by blaming the woman, and the woman in turn blames the serpent. It is then when God begins his curse against the serpent. We read in the book of Genesis, "And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed among all cattle and beasts of the earth. Upon thy breast shalt thou go, and earth shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." In these words we have just heard shines the first ray of light after the fall of man. God's paternal heart has prepared a way out as compassionate as it is unsuspected. The future reparation and salvation through a new Adam, a new man, Christ our Lord, with whose victory is associated a new Eve, His Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary. The offspring of the woman will overcome the devil in the same way that a man crushes the head of a serpent. The offspring of the woman is in general the human race, but principally the offspring of the woman par excellence, that is the Virgin Mary, is the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of all mankind. He overcame the devil by his own virtue, what others do by virtue of him. Christ our Lord was nailed to the cross by the serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and his cooperator, all of us with our sins, the sinners in general. And thus, at that time, the devil obtained kind of an apparent victory. But the true victor was our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the death of the cross crushed the enemy of mankind, the ancient serpent, who at the end, as the book of Apocalypse says, will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. But in the meantime, the devils, as St. Peter says, be sober, St. Peter says, be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist ye strong in faith. So, the devil is watching us, and he is not happy. He is not happy. The woman, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, as the woman par excellence, and her divine Son, Jesus Christ, as her offspring, are the one to whom the words of Genesis I primarily said. The enmity between the woman and the serpent, between her offspring and that of the serpent, is seen in the history of mankind since this situation in paradise, since what happened there in paradise, because of the envy of the ancient serpent, which is the devil. This enmity, this intense struggle, this wanting to lose on the part of the devil as many souls as possible, so that they may not obtain the end for which God created them, which is heaven. God created man for heaven. The devil's objective is, in his struggle against God, is precisely that, to cause that the redemption of the human race brought about by our Lord Jesus Christ to be wasted away on as many souls as possible. This is what the devil wants, to lose as many souls as possible, the contrary of what the Church wants. Salus animarum suprema lex, the salvation of souls, is the supreme law. But just as in the crucifixion and death of our Lord, the devil obtained an apparent victory, which in reality we know it was not, as we saw a little before, so now the devil is having an apparent victory against the Catholic Church and the faithful of this Catholic Church. But against that, we have the consoling words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Porte inferi non prevalebunt adversus eam. The gates of hell shall not prevail against her. But at the same time, while our Lord is assuring the final victory for his Church, at the same time predicted persecutions against him and against his own followers, and also the time would be difficult, and that those who persevered to the end, those will be saved. Qui perseveraverit usque in finem, ic salvus erit. We know we are living in difficult times, times of persecutions, time of darkness, darkening of the truth. As our Lord told us, he foretold us in the Gospel of St. Luke, but yet the Son of Man, when he cometh, shall he find, think you, faith on earth? Leo the 13th, Pope Leo the 13th, made an exorcism, and in this exorcism, in the prayer he made, he composed, spoke clearly of what is happening in our times. The most crafty enemies, he says, have filled the church, the bride of the Immaculate Lamb, with bitterness. They have given her wormwood to drink. They have laid their wicked hands on all that is dearest to her, where the See of Peter and the Chair of the Truth were established as a light to the nations. They have set up the throne of the abomination of desolation, so that the flock may be scattered when the shepherd is struck. This is the mystery of iniquity, of which St. Paul speaks to the Thessalonians. And he said, St. Paul says, for the mystery of iniquity already worketh, only that he who now holdeth do hold until be taken out of the way. And then that wicked one shall be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus shall kill with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming him, whose coming is according to the working of Satan in all power and signs and lying wonders, and in all seduction of iniquity to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore God shall send them the operation of error, to believing lying, that all may be judged, who have not believed the truth, but have consented to iniquity. Terrible words, but St. Paul was very, very clear, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And our question is, we could repeat the same words as Pontius Pilate said in the tribunal of our Lord Jesus Christ. He asked our Lord, quides veritas? What is the truth? But what did Pontius Pilate? He just turned around and went out and spoke to the people. He didn't wait the answer of our Lord. Do not do the same. Let us wait for the answer of the truth itself. Jesus would answer us, I am the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. So the love of the truth by which we are to be saved is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of his doctrine, the love of his commandment, the love of the church founded by him, the love of the magisterium of that church, which is none other than the Catholic Church. But we see that the modernist church of Vatican II, using badly the name Catholic, preaches another reality from the one preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the magisterium of the real church, the preconciliar church. Then again, we have to make use of the Holy Scripture, which warns us by the lips of our Lord himself, who said in the Gospel of St. Matthew, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and they will seduce many." And St. Paul to the Galatians says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach a gospel to you besides that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preach to you a gospel besides that which you have received, let him be anathema." We are living these days. An angel from heaven is preaching another gospel. Another Christ is preaching against the true Jesus Christ. A Pope is preaching against the truth. Let him be anathema. St. Paul says that. Let us, our Lord, we may be faithful to him and only him. Because we know that a real angel from heaven cannot preach another gospel than the one already preached by the apostles and transmitted to us by the Catholic Church. Because we know that Christ, our Lord, being himself the truth, cannot teach anything else than the truth, not lies. Because we know that the Pope cannot err, because he has the gift of infallibility. And this is a dogma of our faith, because our Lord, talking to Saint Peter, said, "I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." So the faith of Peter cannot fail. The faith of the Pope cannot fail. If it does, we have two possibilities. Either the prayer of our Lord failed, and to say that would be a kind of blasphemy, or the Pope is not the real Pope, but a man sitting there and dressing a white clothing. So we have in the sacred scripture, in the magisterium of the church, the Catholic Church, the real one, not the modernist one, in the catechism, all the tools we need to avoid error and to know and love the truth. We have the tools to be faithful to our Lord, to his church, therefore the tools to achieve the victory. As we know, the final victory is of our Lord, and ours, if we are with him. If we have persevered in his love, in the love of the truth. This final victory is echoed in the words of the Our Lady of Fatima. "At last, my immaculate heart will triumph. We do believe and do hope that this event will not only be an apotheosic one, but that will also coincide with the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning to his church, 'The gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" And these other words of our Lord, "I will be with you until the end of time." We must also bear in mind that this triumph can be considered as a triumph of Jesus Christ and therefore of the Virgin Mary in every particular soul in which the devil's lurks are overcome by her intercession. Among the various titles the Virgin has. One is that of Redeemer, and another is that of Mediator of all graces, both of which speak of the intimate connection between her, our sweet mother, and her divine Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As co-redeemer, she played an active part in the redemption of the human race, and thus in the redemption of each one of us, together with her divine Son, our Lord, at the wood of the cross. It is as the mediator of all graces that all of them, absolutely all the graces that are born in Christ our Lord as their source by divine providence come to us through the Blessed Virgin Mary. Christ our Redeemer used his Blessed Mother as a bridge to come into the world, became incarnate in her womb, was born of her in Bethlehem, fed from her breast, grew up in her shadow, and finally died the death of cross at her side. And moments before, we know, he left her to us as our mother, saying to Saint John the Apostle, "Behold your mother," and in the person of Saint John are all of we. It is God's will that just as our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world through his mother as a bridge, so we come to him through the same bridge, the Virgin Mary. Thus it is that when a faithful soul allows the grace of God to work its redemption and sanctification in it, it receives the earth of the redemption which Jesus Christ purchased for us with his precious blood, and all this with the participation and through the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it is also that when a faithful soul is tempted by the enemy, the devil, and asks for divine help to avoid falling into temptation, it is through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary that the soul overcomes the devil's lurking. And once again, the words of Genesis, "She shall crush thy head," are verified. In the prayer of Memorare, I made it the translation. I don't know if it is right, but it is Memorare of Saint Bernardus said these consoling words: "It has never been heard that any one of those who have had recourse to your assistance, who have asked for your help, have been abandoned by you." Such as is our assurance, our trust, our hope, our confidence, our consolation in our Heavenly Mother. No one that hath recourse to the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mary has been abandoned by her. So let us remember that just as we are called and really are children of Eve, by God's grace, we must also be children of Mary, faithful children, obedient children, loving children, children consecrated completely to her love. For if we want to share in that triumph of hers, which is that of her divine Son too, we must be part of her family, of course. This is to be her beloved children. I would like to end this talking with some words of the same Saint Bernardus, one of his sermon of on the Gospel of Missus Est that tells about the Annunciation. Saint Bernard says, "It is said that, and the Virgin's name was Mary. Let us speak a few words upon this name, which signifieth, being interpreted, Star of the Sea, and suiteth very well the Maiden Mother, who may very fittingly likened unto a star. A star giveth forth her rays without any harm to herself, and the Virgin Mary brought forth her son without any hurt for her virginity. The light of a star taketh nothing away from the star itself, and the birth of her offspring took nothing away from the virginity of Mary. She is that noble star which was to come out of Jacob, whose brightness still sheddeth luster upon all the earth, whose rays are most brilliant in heaven and shine even unto hell, lighting up earth midway, and warming souls rather than bodies, fostering good and scaring away evil. She, I say, is a clear and shining star, twinkling with excellencies and resplendent with example, needfully set to look down upon the surface of this great and wide sea. Thou, whosoever thou art, that knoweth thyself to be here, not so much walking upon firm ground as battered to and fro by the gales and storms of this life's ocean, if thou wouldest not be overwhelmed by the tempest, keep thine eyes fixed upon these stars clear shining. If the hurricanes of temptations rise against thee, or thou art running upon the rocks of trouble, look to the star, call on Mary. If the waves of pride or ambition or slander or envy toss thee, look to the star, call on Mary. If the billows of angels or avarice or the enticement of the flesh beat against thy soul bark, look to Mary. If the enormity of thy sin trouble thee, if the foulness of thy conscience confound thee, if the dread of judgment appall thee, if you begin to slip into the deep of desperation, think of Mary. In danger, in difficulty, or in doubt, think on Mary, call on Mary. Let her not be away from thy mouth or from thine heart, and that thou mayest not lack the succor of her prayers, turn not aside from the example of her conversation. If you follow her, you will never go astray. If you pray to her, you will never have need to despair. If you keep her in mind, you will never wander. If she hold thee, thou wilt never fall. If she lead thee, thou wilt never be weary. If she help thee, thou wilt reach home safe at the last. And so thou wilt prove in thyself how fittingly it is said, and the Virgin's name was Mary." Remember, today was the last apparition in Fatima, and the sun danced, and many people saw this miracle. Our Lady in Fatima appeared for 6 months consecutively, and every time she appeared, asked for the prayer to pray the rosary. So there are many victories that have the cause of it, of the prayer of the rosary. So our victory is also to pray the rosary every day, because she has asked us to pray the rosary. Remember that she shall crush thy head, and this will be the triumph of her Immaculate Heart, the triumph of the Church, and the triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our triumph if we are her family. And we belong to her family through the prayer of the Rosary. Remember, those who persevere to the end will be saved. So we shall find time every day to pray the Rosary, to fulfill in us the saying of the Genesis, and she shall crush thy head. Thank you very much. God bless you.